You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 2nd, 2022, and as you heard tonight, President Biden's going to make an address regarding gun control. We've already been told by the White House previously that he's not that interested in hardening schools, spending more money to make schools safer while we spend and send $40 billion to Ukraine. And all the other expenditure programs we have. Not enough to protect our kids, but he will work diligently to have new gun legislation, which really is going to target law-abiding citizens, not the lawbreakers. We'll see what he has to say, but I think I could pretty well write the speech right now. In the meantime, Democrats say they're going to abolish the Senate filibuster and pack the Supreme Court in order to pass more restrictions on guns. Next week, the House preparing to advance a package of gun bills. So we've got it officially now. They have plans to pack the courthouse, the Supreme Court, and move forward with their Protecting Our Kids Act when it's really stripping you of your Second Amendment. Tulsa police identifying a recent patient as the gunman who carried out that mass shooting at the Oklahoma hospital yesterday. Two of the four victims were doctors, including one who had recently performed back surgery on the attacker. After killing four, the gunman turned the gun on himself. And, of course, the Uvalde funerals and wakes continue. And we're going to deal with that in the next segment coming up and some of the reaction that's coming out as the rhetoric ratchets up, because if you can't win on facts and merits, then start shouting louder and calling people godless. Now, I'll explain the next segment. The economy in many parts of the U.S. slowing in recent weeks. That's according to the Federal Reserve. No surprise there for you, right? No surprise. Labor costs in the U.S. rising sharply in the first 3 months of the year. Again, are you surprised at all? I mean, are you just absolutely shocked that labor costs are going up? Then you get to the other issue in addition to inflation and fuel prices, which continue to escalate. And when they tell you inflation's at 8%+, it's really much higher than that. I mean, you know yourself what you're paying at the grocery store for various products you buy. You know how much more you're paying for them. Just look at your grocery bill. Is this only 8% more than you used to pay? Of course not. And then baby formula, if you can find it. In fact, President Biden admitting, well, I didn't know anything about it until April. It was back in October. A whistleblower said, we're going to have a shortage and we got a problem with this plant. FDA shut it down. No one told the president that that plant produces 40% of the baby formula in the U.S. Or they told him and he forgot. He says, I was never told. I'll let you decide what happened. The facts are this. The market supply of baby formula revealing the shortage is getting worse, especially in the South and Southwest U.S. Low-income families suffering the most. How much is that helping you? Meanwhile, we try to continue to import more baby formula from other locations. And by the way, Democrats, of course, are in control of the federal government, and 13 million Obamacare recipients are about to receive notice of a 53% premium price increase. Oh, yeah, that Obamacare. We all told you that's going to come back to bite you in the arse, and it's doing it. You're going to get 13 million of you, a 53% premium price increase. Oh, but you can still keep your doctor. Remember that part of the story? Right. Disgraced Former Hollywood movie mogul Harvey Weinstein, as I call him, spearheading basically the hashtag MeToo movement after years of sexual abuse came to light. He was trying to get his verdict overturned. Nope, not going to happen. Bill Cosby back on trial for, again, molestation cases that are surfacing now, 30-plus years later. Queen Elizabeth will not attend the service of Thanksgiving due to some, quote, discomfort. This is the Platinum Jubilee weekend for her. She's shown up and waved her hands a couple times. Going to be at a beacon lighting set for tonight, but apparently some discomfort. Don't know how that's going to affect her in the long run, but of course the Queen is everything in England.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau, Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If it's the last thing I do, if it's the only thing I do going forward, I'm going to yell and scream until we change gun laws in Texas. Republican voters agree with me. Republican voters want change on the age limit. They want to see red flag laws. They want to have laws that create waiting periods. I'm not trying to take anybody's guns away. I own guns.
That is the statement from a Texas state senator, Roland Gutierrez, the Democrat, and said, I'm not trying to take away your guns. I own guns. We are live streaming this program right now at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, one word in the search engine, and go to that page, push live, and you're in studio with us. And reminding you, you can subscribe for free to rumble.com for the Larry Connors channel and also to LarryConnorsUSA.com and get all of our podcasts sent direct to you for free. The information I give you is valuable, but I want you to get everything you can for free, and this is it. So here we have the Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez appearing on MSNBC, and saying that Republican voters agree with me. Republican voters want changes on the age limit. They want to see red flag laws. I have not seen the surveys he's talking about. They may exist. I don't know how valid they are. There is probably a belief that maybe in the minds of some, yeah, we should change ages. But I will remind you of something. Small little fact here. You're going to ban the AR-15 or any long rifle or a shotgun from anyone under the age of 21, you know that many that go into our military are 18, 19, maybe 17 with parental permission, and we give them weapons. And in Texas, one of the worst shootings they had in Texas was at a military base. Do you remember that? that was, let me get the date here directly in front of me because I don't want to be wrong about it. The Fort Hood shooting, November 5, 2009. 11 killed. I'm sorry, 13 killed, 31 injured. This is on an Army base. Well, now you would think everybody would have a gun on the Army base. Nope, nope. They're all locked up unless they're used for training. But this Army psychiatrist brought a weapon on base and knew he could carry out a lot of shootings and killings before they stopped him because of the strictness of you can't carry a weapon on the base, even though you're trained in it. We've had the same thing with shootings at recruitment stations and so forth. Naval recruitment, wherever. They're not allowed to have a weapon, and yet they're trained to use them. Now, according to a piece written by the Texas Tribune, Texas has had 8 mass shootings in the past 13 years, and the lawmakers have steadily loosened restrictions on carrying firearms. That's what they're claiming. The latest, of course, being the Uvalde school shooting. We had a Midland Odessa shooting, an El Paso Walmart shooting, Santa Fe High School shooting, the Sutherland Springs Church shooting, you recall that one. The Dallas police shooting, I want to deal with that one for a moment. The Dallas police shooting, I remind you that Governor Abbott took office in 2015. I'm not even sure if he was sworn in at the time that shooting went down. But you remember what that shooting involved? It was in July 2016, a gunman opening target on police as they were patrolling and giving protection to a Black Lives Matter protest going through the city. They were there. Police were protecting Black Lives Matter. And somebody decided what easy targets they make. 5 were killed. 11 injured. And then we've got 2017, we had the Sutherland Springs Church shooting. Governor Abbott the other day said he was going to call for a special session. That's the way it got interpreted for a while. Wasn't that really a special session? That would mean it would actually be bringing the legislature back. What he asked for the Texas legislature, for special committees on school safety. Well, the left went wild, said, you're going to call the legislature back for a special hearing on school shootings, and at least you're going to get something done. And then when it became clear, the legislature wasn't being called back into session. The Democrats came out railing and whining and saying, we got bamboozled. He did a fake, a head fake, and he knew it. And he's not really doing anything. And that's part of the statement from Texas Senator Roland Gutierrez and saying basically that he knows we won't ever do anything. It's the same MO he's done session after session, massacre after massacre. And then that's where Gutierrez got really harsh with his language about the Texas governor.
So you can't imagine what it's been like talking to these families. You know, every night I go to bed crying. The pain that these families have experienced is a million times more profound. I don't want any of my colleagues to have to go what I've been having to do. I don't want any family in Texas to ever have to undergo this. This is shameful that this man has had 6 massacres, 7 massacres under his belt. He calls himself a Christian. He's the antithesis of being a Christian. What's happening here is godless.
That is such a strong statement. We're going to play it again before we wrap up this segment. Mark, please have it ready. We're going to play it again here shortly because I want to. It is a powerful statement that he's laying at the feet of the governor because he's not, what, giving you the gun laws you want. the gun laws they have in Texas, where they have stopped that shooting yesterday, in Uvalde. Well, if you had had an 18-year age that you had to be 21 to buy an AR-15, yes, he wouldn't have been able to buy it. You can't buy a handgun until you're 21 under federal law. Okay, if you did that, but then again, look at all the kids that are out hunting and so forth, law-abiding, hunting everything from jackrabbits to deer, sometimes with their parents or other adults. And if those adults, of course, don't even have the kids going out with them, maybe the kid knows where the guns are and they're not fully locked all the time and properly kept from children, then it could still happen. You have to remember, and this is something the left just cannot seem to accept. It is not the gun that does the killing. It's the person that has the will to do it. It is against the law to kill by whatever means, unless you're in self-defense mode. And sometimes that's questioned. And they want to focus on something like this mass shooting, and it is tragic. Hearts do break. I mean, believe me, that's. But I guess what also grieves me, not as much as losing the kids, I'll admit that, but it grieves me that so many on the left want to campaign even before caskets are lowered into the ground. They're still in the process of doing that, and they're shouting more gun laws would have stopped it. In this particular case, it might have if you had an age limit above 18. Remember the Sandy Hook shooting? He didn't even buy the gun. He got it from his mother. Or she bought it and gave it to him. I don't even remember the details of it. But I'm looking at Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott right now, blaming the media for perpetuating violence during the Summer of Peace event he had earlier this week. He said, we need to play a conversation about everybody, including the media, can play a part in reducing violence instead of spreading hate, spreading violence, hashtag spreading nonsense. The Baltimore police now investigating 137 murders as of Monday, less than halfway into 2022, 137. They had 337 murders in 2021. That's just that city. Chicago, this last weekend, 40-plus shootings, I think 8 to 10 fatal. Doesn't justify anything to say that those are happening, but in comparison, the number killed in Uvalde is multiplied across the nation on a repeated basis, and it is not usually by law-abiding citizens. And many times the age groups that they're trying to corral are the 18 to 21, 22, 17, 16 years of age, are convicts who are not supposed to have a weapon at all. They are just convinced that that gun laws will solve everything. If we take away the Second Amendment and no one can have a gun, that's their intent. They're focusing on AK-47s. Most 80-plus percent homicides carried out with a handgun, not a AK-47 or even any kind of so-called long rifle or a shotgun. And if people have the will, Cain and Abel, use a stone. But makes an easy target, and more importantly, they're looking at it as a political campaign for 2020 that might help Democrats get some traction. Especially when this Democrat comes out and says, many Republicans agree with me. I want you to hear his statement again. Not so much about that, but how he classifies the governor and his religion because he's not doing what he thinks should be done and it's a violation of religion. Please listen.
So you can't imagine what it's been like talking to these families. You know, every night I go to bed crying. The pain that these families have experienced is a million times more profound. I don't want any of my colleagues to have to go what I've been having to do. I don't want any family in Texas to ever have to undergo this. This is shameful that this man has had seven massacres under his belt. He calls himself a Christian. He's the antithesis of being a Christian. What's happening here is godless.
He's talking about the governor of Texas has had 6 massacres, 7 under his belt, as if he carried them out. And then he decides to go on the attack of his religion. The arguments, the outcries, they're getting so wacko, you're losing sight of something that might really help. And that is, if there's a loophole, let's close it. If there's something we can do that would be beneficial, actually be beneficial, I'm for it. And let's make sure we harden our schools. But just to use this as another example to attack the Second Amendment and law-abiding citizens? No. Coming up, the Republican National Committee has a video they're spreading around in advance of 2020 outlining the connections between Joe Biden as VP, president, and his son Hunter Biden. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
His son, Hunter, joining the then vice president on the official visit to Beijing. Unknown to the press back then, Hunter Biden was forming a Chinese private equity fund, planning to raise money, including from Chinese investors. 10 days after the Biden's trip, Shanghai authorities issued the fund's business license.
Then Vice President Joe Biden had dinner with his son Hunter, along with Hunter's business associates from Ukraine, Russia, and Kazakhstan. And the day after the dinner, a Burisma executive sent a note to Hunter, quoting, "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together."
That is clear evidence that Joe Biden not only knew about Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings, but was an integral part of them. By integral, I mean just the fact that you have a chance to sit down and meet with, at that time, the Vice President of the United States, and then later the President, he becomes a President. Do you not think that gives you a leg up on the competition and helps get some things done for you? That is part of a piece being released by the Republican National Committee that is detailing President Joe Biden's involvement in Hunter Biden's business schemes. Joe Biden has claimed at least 7 times, "I know nothing. I've never done anything." And yet this video that they're releasing ties him to the family business with Hunter and Joe at least 12 times over 6 years, much of it coming from text messages on the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. It makes for great campaign material, and they're using it. And this is not so much to run against Biden because he might be a candidate in 2024. It's to make it clear to anyone who thinks that Democrats and Biden have been telling you the truth and are going to continue telling the truth, as if there aren't enough reasons to reject candidates for the Democrats in 2022. The RNC says, take a look at this one. Here's another example.
Hunter introduced me as, this is Tony, Dad, the individual I told you about that's helping us with the business that we're working on and the Chinese.
The email reads this way, quote, "At the moment, there's a provisional agreement that the equity will be distributed as follows. 10 held by Hunter for the big guy."
I 1,000% sit here and know that the big guy is referencing Joe Biden. I met with the former vice president in person multiple times.
A newly revealed text message shows Bob Alinsky was apparently warned by business partner James Gillier, "Don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when you are face to face. I know you know that, but they are paranoid."
You bet they're paranoid. And of course, that was referring to Tony Bob Alinsky, who was a partner of Hunter. And then there's this part of the video about Joe Biden paying some of Hunter Biden's bills.
"The president agreed to pay Hunter Biden's legal fees for his business dealings with a Chinese-controlled company. Hunter's assistant reportedly telling a pair of Biden aides, quote, I spoke with Hunter today regarding his bills. It is my understanding that Hunt's dad will cover these bills in the short term."
There is photographic evidence of Biden on a golf outing with both his son, Hunter, and a man called Devin Archer, who was another member of the Burisma board.
We also know that Devin Archer in that picture had a meeting in the White House, one-on-one meeting with Joe Biden about a week before they joined the Burisma board.
His closest business partner, Hunter, has made at least 19 visits to the White House and other official locations, including a sit-down with then-Vice President Joe Biden in the West Wing.
"I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period."
Wow. Just could blatantly say that despite all of the evidence, all of the documentation that shows he was at that business partner of Hunter was making at least 19 visits to the White House, including a sit down with then Vice President Joe Biden in the West Wing. It's documented. Oh, maybe Joe just doesn't remember. That would be a good excuse. Maybe he had an ice cream headache that day and wasn't seeing things right. What are you seeing when you go to the gas pump? Yep, you're probably also seeing those stickers some people are putting up on it, a picture of Joe Biden smiling and pointing to the prices. I did that. Yep, but he won't take any blame. Coming up, a White House Council economic advisor.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Of course, we're doing all we can to help on the price front, and particularly gas at the pump, but in other commodities as well. Now, of course, as you said, Vladimir Putin's unjust invasion of the sovereign nation of Ukraine is all over that issue. And we're hearing today some reports that OPEC may step up and compensate for some of the lost Russian barrels. We can't wait on the sidelines. That's why the president has overseen the largest release of oil from global reserves ever presided over. That's why he's tried to increase the supply of E15 ethanol gasoline, mostly benefiting buyers in the Midwest. And we're going to continue to press on making sure suppliers meet their quotas and doing all we can to increase refinery capacity as well. These are all parts of a complicated global market, but we're doing all we can to help.
No, you're not. No, you are not doing everything you can to help. That was Jared Bernstein, White House Economic Counsel, part of the echo chamber in the Biden White House. We're doing all we can. We couldn't foresee the Russian invasion happening. I'm going to grant them that, to some extent. But I knew the moment Biden was sworn in that we had lost all respect around the world, and Russia and China would start flexing their muscle and see how far they could go. I had no doubt about that. But that was just a suspicion. What I did know for fact is the day Biden gets into office, he takes pen in hand and by executive order kills the Keystone Pipeline. Just months away from being finished. It would be finished long ago by now. And would be getting a lot more oil and gas into our country. And if he had not stopped drilling on federal lands, we would have that oil and gas already in the pipeline, not just that pipeline, but the others, and through the refineries. And it takes a while to refine and break out how it's going to be used. Out of every barrel of oil, you get maybe 20 to 25 gallons of gasoline for your vehicle. I'm not talking about diesel, I'm just talking about gasoline. And refineries can't just do it immediately. It takes time. That's refining. That's what we say. And oil and gas, fossil fuels that they want us to move away from, every one of those Democrats, in, even if they all own electric cars, which they do not, but and they don't all use public transportation or bike to work. Pete Buttigieg did a couple of times just for a photo op, get close to the White House, then jump on the bicycle like, boy, I did this. I biked all the way. BS. I don't even think he's bothering to do that now. But even if he did, the rubber on the tires on that bicycle, where do you think they came from? Refinery product, fossil fuel. Women's cosmetics, various plastics, your computer case, things of this nature. Every Democrat has every one of those things and more in their homes, or office, or both. They sell you the lie that climate change, that we're all going to die, that our nation's going to be flooded over, and yet one of their leaders, Barack Obama, spends multi-millions to buy a house at Martha's Vineyard, which by the standards presented by the Democrats would be under 30 feet of water in a matter of years. He doesn't even buy it, but he'll preach the message if needed. But here you've got Jared Bernstein of the White House saying, we're doing everything we can. And of course, don't forget that during, and they said they couldn't see exactly how COVID was going to happen. We all were caught in a quandary about that. But then their idea of how to help things is, and because some families were hurting, send them money because they can't go to work or their job's been shut down because of COVID, things of that nature. Some stimulus package ideas were good, but then they continue to think if it was good once, it's going to be good multiple times. And yet, Jared Bernstein admits, the stimulus packages have also helped create inflation.
I believe that those packages are integrally contributing to some of the remarkable economic statistics and dynamics that we've posted. So the Federal Reserve recently reported, and one of your commentators was talking about this, families are reporting that they feel more financially secure, even with elevated inflation, than at any point in the history of this survey going back to 2013. Yeah. Manufacturing job growth up at a 30-year high. We have business investment up 20%. We know that entrepreneurial applications for small business are the highest on record, and of course, over 8 million jobs created since this president got here. All of those have the fingerprints of the American Rescue Plan on them, as well as, of course, getting vaccinations out there in a way that was not occurring before we got here.
But, of course, remember the vaccinations you only had because Trump did warp speed working with the companies to get it out. Now, he did not have a chance to make all the distribution because he was no longer in office. But here's Bernstein quoting some report. I don't know what report he's referring to that Americans, even though despite the inflation, they feel better about their lives and security. He did say that even your networks reported, I think he's talking to CNN, and I have no doubt they probably said something like that. I have no idea what source they used. Let me just ask you, are you doing better? Is your money going farther? Are you getting more for your money than you did? Silly me. I wasted my breath and your brain cells with that question, didn't I? So the basic question is to Jared Bernstein, what is to blame for inflation?
The inflation that we're observing right now is very much a function of high levels of demand and constrained supply. Now, that relates to COVID. That relates to some things that certainly weren't in the picture when the American Rescue Plan went into place, things like Omicron and other variants, things like Russia's invasion, things like China's lockdown. And sure, fiscal policy is always going to contribute to the demand side of the equation.
Yeah, but it's the same old echo chamber. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, said, no, the Biden administration is creating it through what it's done to energy production locally and wasteful spending. That's it. And then we got the baby formula issue, which Biden just suddenly, oh, there's a problem with baby formula? Listen to this NBC report.
Latest on that desperate search for baby formula by families across the country, with President Biden announcing new overseas shipments now are on the way. But for the first time, the president acknowledged he did not become aware of the depth of the problem until well after it began.
I became aware of this problem sometime in after April, in early April, about how intense it was.
But moments earlier in his meeting with top manufacturers,
we knew from the very beginning this would be a very serious event.
We could foresee that this was going to create a tremendous shortage.
Did the CEOs just tell you that they understood it would have a very big impact?
They did, but I didn't.
FDA officials were alerted to potential problems at the plant in October when an Abbott whistleblower sent FDA officials this 34-page document alleging that lax practices, including regulatory violations, were consistently overlooked. The FDA did not send a team to investigate until January 31st. Abbott shut down the plant on February 15th and issued a voluntary recall 2 days later. That same day, the FDA put out a warning to parents. Now, President Biden says he didn't become aware until April. But the president not publicly commenting on the crisis until May 13th, when he faced bipartisan criticism for a slow response.
There's nothing more urgent.
The White House press secretary saying administration officials were working on the problem for weeks before the president says he was briefed.
We did everything that we can from the moment that we learned about the recall.
No, again, they did not. And they can't get their story straight, can they? And I mentioned in news and commentary at the top of the hour, baby formula shortage getting worse in the South and Southwest U.S., low-income families suffering the most. Nearly 23% nationally of powdered baby formula out of stock as of May 22nd. And what they're frying in, it makes maybe 15% of it. Oh, and here's some more news. You can't say directly on Biden's watch, but he was there when it went through Obamacare. 13 million Obamacare recipients will get a notice of a 53% premium price increase. Thank you, Mr. Obama, and your lasting legacy. Riddle me this, when is a bee a fish? Well, it is if you're in California. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottner.com, Rottner Pest Solutions.
Show me what you got, 'cause I don't wanna waste my time. See me in the spotlight, ooh, whatever your style.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You cannot make this stuff up. A California appeals court ruling that bees can be classified as fish under the state's Endangered Species Act. The three-judge panel ruling that four species of bumblebees found across California are technically fish. God almighty. Back in 2019, the California Fish and Game Commission voted 3-1 in favor of the crotch Franklin's bee, the suckley bee, or the suckley cuckoo, now that makes sense, and the western bumblebees as endangered. So they wanted to do something to stop them from killing them. And now the court has decided that, yes, the bee could be considered a fish. So listen, you can't make this stuff up. And nor can you make this up, and this is appalling. The U.S. Embassy, at the Holy See in Rome is now flying the LGBT rainbow flag, started yesterday, all in celebration of Pride Month. Innovation of the Biden administration. The second year we've done this now. The embassy in its tweet said, today's the start of Pride Month, so the U.S. respects and promotes equality, human dignity of all, including the LGBTQ1A+ community. Okay, I'm all for human dignity of them and everything else, but flying it over our U.S. embassy? And the Pope, what is the Pope doing about it? Well, he released his prayer intention for the church for this month, the beauty of matrimony. Said, let us pray for young people preparing for marriage with the support of a Christian community. May they grow in love with generosity, faithfulness, and patience. It says nothing about if it's male-female, male-male, female-female marriage. He doesn't say that. But we know what happened the other day when the Archbishop of San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's diocese, said, we're no longer going to give you communion. You're barred from communion in this diocese because of your stand for abortion. And the Pope was appointing cardinals, and the Archbishop of San Francisco was near the top of the list. He got passed over for another archbishop who was in favor of giving communion to politicians who favor abortion. And then if you're looking for another issue, as if we need to add another issue about this. And I've told you there are many in the LGBT community that are not happy with the way things are going because it's making them look bad in ways that they didn't intend. I mean, they just want to live their lives, but it's become such a big deal, and others are capitalizing on it, and all these woke corporations are throwing money at them. So why not have your hand out? And here comes NASCAR. Yes, NASCAR. The other day at the race, Governor Abbott waved a green flag for the start of the race. Or the end of it, I don't know. At some point he waved it. And they immediately got trashed because he wasn't waving a pride flag in honor of Pride Month coming up. And NASCAR sent out a tweet and said, we celebrate with the LGBTQ plus community, and recent actions have not aligned with NASCAR's mission. What is your mission? Run cars around a track. But now it's also gender equality and everything of that nature. The response from various folks, including a conservative writer and commentator, this is just getting silly, I agree. Another conservative radio host laughing pathetically. Another one saying, perfect example, wokeness invading a business point where they completely lost touch with their customer base. Still another one said, go woke, go broke. You people will never learn. The woke corporations bending to wokeness constantly. The Holy See, and this is not aimed at Catholics. I'm just telling you the fact. I have a lot of Catholic and Jewish and Muslim friends and many who were not religious at all in any way. But the Holy See deciding, the Pope himself deciding to pass over an archbishop for a cardinal because he denied Nancy Pelosi communion. Many in this nation love our flag and our country and what it stands for and our freedoms that we've been blessed with. I stand for the flag. I will bow a knee. In fact, biblically, we will all, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. To that, I would add amen. Thank you for listening. Share with your friends, please. Simply share the program with them. Let them know about us on the air as well. I thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. And believe me, I've already got plenty of material to cover all of tomorrow, and they'll probably have to add to it tomorrow again. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.